Hey guys, don't forget the 2023 Street Cop Training Conference, Nashville, Tennessee, April 23rd through the 28th. You do not want to miss this. So far, guest speakers, Rob O'Neill, the Navy SEAL that was responsible for killing Osama bin Laden, Kyle Carpenter, U.S. Marine, Medal of Honor recipient, jumping on an IED to protect his platoon. Fox News host Tommy Lahren returns for 2023. Sheriff Wayne Ivey, Sheriff Mark Lamb, Sheriff David Clark, and more to come. You don't want to miss this event. We additionally have 20 of the country's top law enforcement educators giving you the best experience of your life. You will leave this event knowing more about your job and how to be proficient at the things you do, hands down, any other event that you'll ever attend. I personally guarantee it. Don't miss out. There's a room code at streetcop.com for our room block and room code at the Gaylord at Opry is where the event's taking place. Don't miss out on a discounted rate. The rate is from Sunday to Thursday. Put that in and find yourselves at a half-price room. Split it with a friend, but make sure you get there. You don't want to miss this event. It is going to be that good. If you trust me and you trust Street Cop, trust that you will leave there feeling like you've had an experience of a lifetime.
You trying to be a street cop?
Hey guys, welcome to this episode of Street Cop Training Podcast. I'm your host, founder, and CEO of Street Cop Training. My name is Dennis Benino, and I have with me today a very special guest who's kind enough to come on our podcast and give us some of his thoughts, ideas, and gives a real shit about the law enforcement community because his father was a cop. He has a ton of friends who are cops. But I'll let you tell the world and the Street Cop audience who you are, but none other than Cody Alford. Appreciate you being here today, brother.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. My name is Cody Alford. I spent the past, well, just about 15 and a half years in the Marine Corps. I was a special operations Marine Raider. I got out after really hitting this wall of cognitive impairment. Absolute life change, was not ready for it, was not used to that new norm that I was creating in my life. Got out, suffered for a long time, about 4 years of just straight work to really work on that underlying thing of like, what's holding me back, what's keeping me back. And along the way, I started to share my story, started a brand called We Defy the Norm, basically just like telling everyone everything I was going through, how I was trying to better myself, the things I was going through, and basically this unfiltered raw version of myself. And then now, 4 years later, it's really worked out. I have a very good, thriving brand that's impacting thousands of people. I'm also a performance coach. I help people become the best version of themselves. Also help businesses accelerate, find gaps in their security, find gaps in how they conduct themselves, and basically apply all the skills and knowledge that I learned in the Marine Corps and apply it into people's lives because I realized that it absolutely works. And I have this ability to experience a lot of hardships and a lot of adversity that has helped prepare me to become my best self and to continuously work on that. And that's what I share with people. So I'm super grateful and thank you for having me.
Dude, it's a pleasure. Let's just back it up a little bit because you really breezed past the United States Marine Corps Raider. Maybe you can help people understand a little bit more what that means and some of the things you've been through as far as service to our country and on behalf of everybody. I mean, you hear this 1,000 times, but really do believe it to be sincere from my heart that I just want to say thank you for doing what you've done for this country. You know, it's guys like you who set the example of what it means to be a great American.
Oh, damn, I appreciate that. So I spent just about 13 years as a Marine Raider. So a Marine Raider is our special operations branch for the Marine Corps, MARSOC, Marine Special Operations Command. I was there for, I'm a plank owner. I was a force reconnaissance Marine before that and a Marine Scout Sniper before that, serving two deployments as a sniper in the infantry battalion before moving over to force reconnaissance and then later MARSOC, which started back in 2006. I did 4 deployments with them, overseas to Iraq and Afghanistan and Africa. Worked my way through the ranks, pretty senior. I was a Marine Master Sergeant, so I was taking out companies. I was in charge of our schoolhouse for multiple sections and really had this full gambit of experience and exposure that I never really thought I would have. Working my way through the ranks fairly quickly put me in a position where I was basically thrown to the fire of leadership, like, hey, perform or go home. And so luckily I had a bunch of mentors that I looked out, that looked out for me and a bunch of leaders that I was able to observe to apply what was going to be best for myself as I moved through the rank, moved through the job. And, you know, that was my life. I didn't really have time to put my mind anywhere else. I focus extremely on the mission and the men, because that's what matters, because people's lives are at stake. There's a high demand for us. There's a lot of responsibility on our shoulders, and that helped forge me and shape me into who I am today. I used to identify with my past. Like, I was this, I was that. It took me a bit to get over that. And then I realized that all those things helped me become who I am today. And without those experiences, I might not be the same person. However, I'm not defined by that. It just helped me basically transform to who I am today. So I'm super grateful for all the experiences.
Now, I could be wrong, but is there a title you hold in the Marine Corps? The fastest promoted? Tell me about that.
Yeah, so I was the fastest promoted master sergeant in the Marine Corps for my career field. I pinned on at 11 and a half years. So I was selected for master sergeant at 10 and a half years, which is extremely fast, especially being an 03 background. And it really worked out. It shook a lot of feathers, pissed off a lot of people. I'm a very outspoken guy. None of this was meritorious. The only meritorious promotion I ever had was out of boot camp. I graduated at the top of my class as number one. So I graduated two ranks above most people. And I kind of just hit that trajectory my entire career. So I was very fortunate, and it gave me the opportunity to take relevant real world experience and information and apply that to the men that I was working with. There's a lot of outdated people in a lot of environments that don't adapt mentally to the changing of times, whether that's the battlefield or the battle space that you're operating in. And being on the ground level for such a long time, I was able to bring that. And I think that brought a lot of value to the men and the women that I worked with and worked for.
Looking back at your life, maybe when you were younger, the things that stick out. So for me now, I'm in my 40s, right? So I begin to digress and I start exploring my childhood and try to pick up signs and little interesting stories that typically come out during my meditation practices of, oh, that's so fucking interesting how that happened and it relates back to this. So tell me about your childhood and relating back to, and we'll keep it in the realm of, what do you think progressed you so quickly into a leadership position? Even at the academy, why were you so committed to being number one? Because you didn't just show up and not commit to being number one and just happen to be fucking number one. It doesn't happen like that. Unless everybody you were in the Marine Corps with in your boot camp was a complete mope, which I find that very hard to believe, because most people go to Marine Corps are very fucking motivated. So what are some childhood stories you can think of that relate back to the mindset that you're experiencing now? And believe me, I know that you had an intervention in your life, and I'll discuss mine and we'll go back and forth on that. But tell me about something you can remember back from your childhood.
I remember, I was never really good at sports. I did enjoy playing football. I liked the camaraderie, the teamwork. I liked the contact sport of it, but I was not really good, and not being really good at it and not being a really big guy in a 5A football team, I never started. And I looked around and I saw that people that were bigger than me, that didn't have as much heart as me, that weren't putting out as much as me, that all they did was complain, but they were just big. They started. It was this intimidation presence. And I was like, dude, what kind of crap is this? I'm literally limited because of my size. And practice was a different story. You know, in practice, I could start for, the lookout squad or whatever. But on the games, I was sitting on the sideline waiting for my turn for second string to come in. I was like, okay, well, I'm a team player, but this kind of sucks. This feeling sucks. I'm limited literally by my physical size, my physical presence, not my heart, not my fight. And when I got to the Marine Corps, I realized that was completely opposite. None of that stuff existed anymore. I realized that how I felt as a kid, wanting to perform, wanting to put out, but being hamstringed because of my physical stature, wasn't the case when I joined the service. And to your question of like, I never went to any unit or I never went to any school, be like, I'm going to be number one. I went there to show up and execute. But what I found out when I went there was that it felt so uncomfortable to sit back in the shadows. That is not me. I cannot do that. It felt so weird to not step up. It felt so weird to not help out that person that might need help. And in doing so, I shine more. I wasn't afraid to raise my hand. I wasn't afraid to volunteer. I try to tell people, they're like, how did you become a leader in boot camp? I asked for it. They're like, hey, who wants to be a squad leader? Who wants to be this? I'm like, did I raise my hand? Because I realized that this is my chance. And if I sit on my hands, I'm going to pass up on this opportunity. And if I do that, that's my own fault. Just because you're in the military, just because you're in a contract, just because you're in a school like that or a course like that, doesn't mean you have to just be a peasant to your mind and just be on standby for everything. You have a say. You can control how you perform. You might not always be the fastest, might not always be the strongest, but how you show up, that's completely on you. You can control your thoughts and your actions. And I realized that this is a childhood dream of mine. I wasn't going to say this is a childhood dream, think about it my entire time in high school, and then get there and be like, I'm just going to cakewalk this because it's comfortable. There was no time for comfort for me. My goals, my dreams were much more important than the comfort of just sitting in the back.
When I say to you, is it okay to be different? What does that mean to you in that sense?
Absolutely. I mean, we're all different, you know, and that has been like almost perverted nowadays with like a bunch of agendas that are happening around the world. But we are all absolutely different. Not one of us have the same fingerprint. Not one of us has the same DNA breakdown. But yet we try to all fit in this box called norm, where shut up and color, do what you're told, fall in line, you know, don't speak up, don't make ripples, be the gray man. And that is a slave to me. That just doesn't make any absolute sense. You know, I have a consciousness for a reason. I have a thought for a reason. And if I sit on these things, if I don't act on these things, then how am I being me? How am I really awakening my true self? If I'm not, I'm just suppressing it. Well, if you're suppressing that, you're suppressing way more in life than you actually think you are. And then throughout our lifespans, right, these different seasons of life, these chapters of our life, we realize that, wait a second, I'm living a life that's not even mine. I'm living a life of conformity. I'm living a life where people want me to just fall in line and suppress who I truly am inside. So I absolutely think it's absolutely fine to be yourself and to be different.
For me, I always think about, as you're talking, we're probably pretty similar in some sense, where I was the same way. I was a very hardworking guy. I remember one of my friends saying to me, you know what your problem is? You don't want to listen to your boss. And my response to him was, the boss doesn't know what they're doing. This doesn't make sense. Why are we doing it this way? And essentially, that's where I'm at in my professional career is, why are we doing things the way that we're doing? I just had a viral video on TikTok and basically just said, like, why are we marching in academies? You know, like, why do we, does anybody know how many hours are you practicing marching? 25, 40 hours to march in the academy? That's good. That's important. That time's not valuable, right? Where we can actually learn how to do our jobs. We're going to learn how to march so we never have to march again in our entire lives. Like, you'll never march again. As a cop, Marine different, right? As a cop, you will never march again in your entire life. And they do it all for a 5-minute ceremony to impress your parents and their colleagues. So we spent 40 hours of valuable time for what, right? People are like, oh, you need military bearing. I get it. You got to push people. You got to, I agree. I think you should really have people find themselves putting through really, really difficult obstacles. But what are we doing? Right? That's, I know I just say this over, like, what are we doing? But let me, you want to comment on that? Then I have more questions for you. Dude, I got a whole fucking list of questions here for you.
Yeah. The, the marching thing is, you know, I get it, right? I get it. But at the same time, I also understand there's this concept of training for graduation. And when you're training for graduation, you're missing the mark. You're missing out on a very, very valuable opportunity to provide actual tangible training to keep the men and women in law enforcement alive. I mean, I have so many law enforcement friends from various backgrounds, and I tell them on a daily basis, bro, get a different job, because clearly your command does not value you. Clearly they don't, because they're setting you up for absolute success, for failure. Society does not want you because everyone's butthurt about things nowadays. And I just look at them and I'm just like, but you guys are still doing it. How selfless are you? And so I tell cops more than I tell service members, dude, thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you do. Because a lot of those men and women have a calling inside and they're like, bro, I got gypped in training. And now I'm going to go out here. I got to spend money for additional training out of my own pocket. I have to go spend more time away from my family so I can make sure I'm prepared to come home to my family. And at the same time, I'm risking being thrown in jail for the wrong video angle, for the wrong verbiage, for the wrong whatever procedure that somebody's going to tell me I did not do when they're not on the objective, having to fight for their life. That is jacked up. That cannot be stress-free. I don't even know the statistics for suicide in law enforcement.
That's a lot.
But I do have a lot of friends that have a lot of PTSD in law enforcement, and none of it's all shooting engagements, right? The ratio of law enforcement that actually shoot is actually low. But you don't have to have violence to have PTSD. Dude, you can literally just put your life on the line and have your command say, bro, you're done. you better make sure everything's good to go because you're done. Like, what kind of environment is that? Who wants to throw it on the line for that? You know, and then it literally blows my mind because I look at this country and I look at all the great things that we have here. Do we have a lot of great first world problems? We have so many great first world problems. Like, we have so much abundance in this country. It's insane. And the average American is so brainwashed and so self-pity, self-sabotaging, weak-minded that they will ride any roller coaster, any narrative that fits the masses, because the masses equals comfort. The masses equals compliance. Anything that goes against that, anything goes against the grain, you're a threat. You're hostile. You're toxic masculinity. You're a bad law enforcement officer, these are all lies. And I look at like the amount of men and women that sign up. It's such a small percentage of people who serve in any capacity, any selfless capacity, out of this large, massive place. And the thing is, the people that are making, stacking money, the people that are living the capitalist lifestyle, which I support, I'm all about it. But they're not the ones out there, but they're the ones influencing the policies and procedures. They're the ones pushing these agendas and these narratives. And then you look at the men and women that are on the line, you're just like, you're so selfless. And you show up every day and you really want to make an impact. And you're like, why the fuck was I marching? Why wasn't I getting more training? But guess what? We find a way. No matter what profession you are, you find a way, because if it's important to you, you'll make it happen. If your job serving was important to you, you'll find a way to make it happen and to not bow down because some other jabroni comes in and tells you that, hey, that's not how we used to do it. I can't tell you how many times I had that in my career. Like, hey, this is how it's done. Now, granted, I had a little bit more tact. I had learned tact in the Marine Corps because I was very like, no, this is stupid. Then I realized that your fate in the military is literally in the about someone else's hands. And so, you know, you want to get promoted, you want to get that team to take out, you want to be in charge. I mean, dude, you piss off the wrong person in the military. And that's what I did not understand about the military, nor like, was that your career is literally in someone else's fingertips. So how can you do it? How can you stand up for yourself? How can you push the fight? How can you defy conformity, but yet still not be a target for like assassination by these weak people? And a weak person to me is defined by someone who's not open-minded. If you're a closed-minded, you are a weak person because you're going to get someone hurt. You're not going to maximize your business. You're not going to maximize your activity that you're doing because you're so closed-minded. It has to be your way or the highway. And that's just showing your own insecurity. And you sound like a smart guy. You sound like an eager guy that's like, man, I exploit gaps, right? We see gaps in security. We exploit them. I see that all these times in my military career where I wasn't working an operational job, I was working an office-based job where I was a liaison officer for multiple teams or multiple countries, reporting back to a higher command. These settings were very cookie cutter. They were very vanilla, very basic, very boring. And it was a job to 99% of the people that I was working around with. I'm like, bro, this isn't a job, dude. I'm away from my family for 6 months doing this shit in another country. This isn't a fucking job to me, bro. This is it. And then our actions and our activities are directly responsible for the men and women that are forward deployed. And yet these procedures that they're doing are just so monotonous. They're so basic. And I'm just like, how can we be so advanced, have all this great technology, win all these wars-ish, right? All these things, but yet be so simpleton inside because it's the way it's been. Well, you keep on doing things the way it's been, guess what? There ain't going to be no way anymore because there's not going to be nothing to do because it's all going to crumble because you're going to be outdated and you're going to wonder why. Well, what happened? I was doing the policy. I was doing the procedures. I was doing the SOP. Well, yeah, bro, shit changes. And a lot of guys and gals, when they're weak, they don't like change because change, when they can capitalize on it, because if I was your boss, I would have brought you up. Because if I bring you up and you bring everyone else up, guess what? I'm being brought up. I would empower you. That's what a boss does. I know my limitations, so I go find that person to replace me, to fill that gap, and I bring you up with me. I empower you. A weak leader says, I'm the boss. I don't like the way you're doing this. I get it. Everyone is working better. We're making more money, but that's just not the way it is. Well, if you're not breaking any rules, you're just changing how things are executed. That's a complete insecurity issue, and that's that's unfortunate. That's what we run into in this world, and especially in this first world, very abundant country where we have literally limitless possibilities to do anything, to create anything, to expand to anything. But we have so many programmed feeble minds that are so insecure with their own shadow that they dim people's lights like you. They put officers' lives on the line because, well, the district attorney, they say these big catchy terms and they forget what it's like. They forget what it's like to be eager, to have excitement, to have a light inside them that says, I'm going to go serve. I'm going to go be selfless as fuck. They forgot what that's like. Or the flip side is half the people making the policy changes have never, ever, ever done anything selfless. Their selfless service is dropping their kid off to school. That's about the extent of it. And it isn't a comparison, but it's a lack of respect, because people don't respect themselves. They're not going to respect you. They hate themselves. They're miserable. They're simpletons. They're small. They're in a constant state of stress, constant state of fight or flight. Then you have hitters like you, the men and women that you worked with. They're like, dude, I'm here to do my job, to actually serve and take care of my community. And you wonder why you get so much riff from your own command. And it makes you wonder, like, why am I doing this? And I kind of felt some of those same things in my career along the way. You're like, why am I doing this? I'm absolutely replaceable. The moment I kill myself, I get killed or get fired or retired, I'm instantly going to be replaced. No one's calling me the next day. Nothing's stopping when I'm gone. But yet so many people fall into this trance of like, it's so important to just keep on going. It's so important I just got to do what they say. Like, no, at some point in time, you have to stand up for yourself and be like, you know what? I'm not doing that. This is the line. Because if you break that line, all your morals, all your value, all the honor you possess inside means absolutely nothing. Because then you become back to that person who wants to be norm. You become that compliant, feeble person who will just literally do whatever the media says, whatever the scarier, more intimidating person says, because they don't have a pulse of their own. That's what brings me back to that original question. Like, is it okay to be different and unique? Absolutely. If it wasn't for unique and different people, we would all be the same. Everything in America would be one big system and there would be no escape. Now, there's a big system in America. There's multiple big systems in America. But uniqueness, the entrepreneurial world, the people that defy conformity, the people that stand up for themselves, they will make the ripples. And those ripples is what builds new foundations for us to grow and expand upon. And if we stop using our voice, if we stop standing up for what we believe in, people that are maybe not as strong as us, not strong in their presence, strong in their voice yet, they have no inspiration. And that's the problem. We don't know what we do today, the causes it actually has later on in life to someone else, right? Most of us are packing our own pack, carrying our own weight. That's kind of all we see at times. We don't see the impact that we have as we do those things, as we stand up for what we believe in, as we voice our opinions and our concerns. We don't see that all the time. But when you do that, man, that's how you create change. That's how you keep that selfless service. That's how you keep all that shit going. Because people will connect to that, they see the bigger picture, and they move forward. And without that shit, we stay stagnant and we collapse.
And when you talk like that, it's very easy to speak to somebody's soul. And when they hear it for the first time, that perspective of, whoa, this guy's right. Holy shit. What's that dude's name again? Wait, where is he going to be next? Where can I follow him? Where can I hear more of his stuff? Right. So people say, you know, I subscribe to certain things in my life and I've been criticized like, oh, who said that? So-and-so. And I'm like, well, yeah, but I believe what that person said. I just never heard it that way before. So my hat's off to you. I think you might've just said one of the most flawless things in about 4 minutes in the history of the United States of America and the world ever in history. It's exactly, I don't think you missed it for a mark for a minute. Do you ever see the, a history behind Pearl Harbor and the guy who actually acted out how the enemies could attack, how the Japanese could attack Pearl Harbor by dropping, I think he dropped like sacks of flour. And did you ever hear that story? You ever see that?
No.
Yeah. So what happened was one of the guys who wasn't a high ranking official in the Air Force saw the vulnerability of Pearl Harbor. So he took a plane out and flew around and literally dropped, I believe this to be correct. Now don't quote me. I learned about this a long time ago. He was dropping big bags of flour. Like when they hit, they mark. So he flies around. He brings a few of the command staff out, flies around, show this thing. And he's like, we're vulnerable. This was like literally, I don't know how long, don't hold me to the timeline, but maybe a month before Pearl Harbor actually happened. And the command staff actually smacked him down and said, this is bullshit. You're out of line, the whole nine. And on that bad decision of these command staff who wouldn't even consider somebody below them to have a good resolution to a problem or foresee something before it occurred because their egos couldn't handle it because he was out of line. Maybe their mindset was just so rigid and this is how things are and nobody can, we're the decision makers, you're not. Poor leadership over and over again. We hear that in the military constantly, poor leadership over and over again essentially cost people, thousands of people their lives.
Yeah, it's insane. Like, you know, I tell people, especially as a leader, you know, you should encourage bad ideas, right? When you're looking at a site picture, when you're trying to assess something and figure out what's the best way to do this, you should encourage all sorts of ideas, even the bad ones, because a dumb bad idea is going to simulate a good idea, a practical idea. And there's bits and pieces from everything that you can apply to it. And I mean, the military is really good. Like, I'm the boss. I don't ask subordinates and all these weird things. And I think it's changing, you know, and special operations is a little bit different, but in the general purpose force, it's very regimented. It's very do as I say, not necessarily how I do all the time, and do what you're told, shut up and call her. And when you bring awareness of catastrophic possibilities, most people are just so triggered because, well, I didn't think of that, so it's not true. Or no, it has never happened before. Once again, these people are so delusional because they've been wearing a suit and tie for so long, they forgot what it's like to put dirt out of their eyes. They forgot what it's like to be around men and women who are suffering on a daily basis and then go home to suffer with their families. They forgot what it's like to be in that world, right? It's not the people that sit up top that make a difference. They make policy. It's the people at the bottom that's holding up the top that make everything happen. These are the people you need to listen to because these are the same reason and these are the same people how you even got to the top. But somehow there's a disconnect because now you're fucking having tea with Timmy because it's tea time and you forget where you started from. And then you're like, well, wait a second. That's not my idea. So obviously it's not good. And then almost out of spite, they go against you when you bring up these ideas. I've encountered that so many times in the Marine Corps. So the fact that happened for Pearl Harbor doesn't surprise me because some officer came up with a really good idea to bunch up all of our shit, collect all of our assets and put them in one easy space. Some officer got an award for that, you know, and was like, hey, Chuck, that's a good idea. And he's like, thanks, Dad. Appreciate you. Meanwhile, someone that's taken a step back, that's not intimate with the actual situation they're objectively looking, they're like, wait a second, I see your concept, but I raise your thought process. And they're like, have you considered this? And they're like, let the men handle this, okay? And I think that applies to almost like any type of environment that has structure. But unfortunately for Pearl Harbor, many lives were at stake and lost because of a poor decision-making and lack of leadership.
Bro, it's crazy. And I always say things here in this space. And I say those things to my detriment, but I say them because I believe in them. And I think the people that follow me, the 78 to 91% of law enforcement who believe in the things that I'm saying, follow me for those reasons. I recognize that it rubs people the wrong way. But the reality is this is not a profession where we have to look at numbers and like, oh, are we going to meet our quotas this month? This is a profession where people's lives are on the line every single day. And I'm telling you for a fact, it is flabbergasting to me that people have not laid the sword down and say, okay, this guy's been making fun of us swinging sticks at bags for the past 10 years of him running his mouth. You know, because do you know that cops go into a defensive tactic setting and they take sticks and they swing at bags and scream, get back. Swing a stick at the bag and go, get back, stop resisting, stop resisting. We'll never do that again in our lives. Yet, if you watch the videos, as heartbreaking as they are, of men and women who lose their lives in the line of duty, not all of them, but a majority of them, when you're a trainer, you say to yourself, how did we miss this? How did this person not get the fucking memo on this? And the answer is nobody's willing to listen who should be listening. The people who are in control of getting the proper training. You don't even need, how about this one? Check this out. You don't even need money to make things better. We have the internet now. I've said this 1,000 times. If you're a cop, you know that the first thing The first time you do a foot pursuit, you're probably going to sound like a fucking lunatic. You probably did. But you can address this. You can fix this. What can you do? For pretty much no money, find two radios, and at your academy, practice foot pursuits. You want a little dynamic and some idealisms here for those who are up and coming in law enforcement and will be those people one day. Have your recruit come in with a change of clothes. Pick different recruits that look like different people, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, you name it. Bring them in. Pick a different setting, a different set of clothing, and a different person, and practice this 15 times. And I promise you, by the time you get ready to call your first foot pursuit, because you've called it 15, 20 times in the academy, you won't sound like a lunatic on the radio, because this is what every foot pursuit sounds like. And we're just like, what the fuck was that? Right? And you do it too, and you're new. Like, I'm running after one. Where are you running? Who are you? What are you running after them for? And the most amazing thing, Cody, is then you come back to work and your coworkers are making fun of you. Your administration is holding you accountable for doing such a bad job, but nobody's helped you. You know, you got these guys who just watch, and girls who watch new guys struggle. You'll see it in our group, the Facebook group, like 96,000 cops in it, right? And somebody will ask a question. I'll approve it because I think it's a good question for a lot of people. And then people are jumping like, how the fuck do you not know that, bro? Like, hey, motherfucker, you were new once too, you piece of shit. Who the fuck do you think you are? But the insecurities come out. Oh, I'm a somebody now. Bro, it's like, you know, and you need people like Cody Alford and Dennis Bonino. You need us to show up and say like, hey, let's behave better. Let's start with just behaving better and see how that transforms this profession. Do you like being in this profession? Do you want to see things get better? Are you the problem or are you the solution? And people need to understand, I say this over and over again, you don't have to have every answer, but relinquish that, like Cody said earlier, to the rank and file and say, we have this problem. We're taking solution recommendations on how to solve this problem. It's beyond my fucking mind of how I can fix this. I know that I'm supposed to know how to fix this. I know I've got these things on my fucking uniform. But the real leader says, you know what? That was a good idea. I wish I would have thought of that. That's why I asked you guys, because I agree with you on that. And that's what we're going to go with, what you guys want to do. And guess what? If it doesn't work, you can say, hey, guys, it didn't work, right? Right? You know, like, let's try it again. Let's see if we can put our heads together. And that's the game. That's the game of change. It's needed. It's fucking needed. Anyway.
The ego is insane. Like, I've reached out to local sheriffs here, and I'm like, hey, I will literally train you guys for free. Like, I'll do it for free. Because I want to serve my community. You know, I want to give back as much as I can. And at the same time, I want to train. Duh, I'm not going to lie about it. I want to train. But the answer I get told is like, well, the Vietnam era military member, you know, they have their own set way of training. And then I hear these guys as training. They're like, yeah, we shoot like minimum rounds a year. You know, I was just doing an MVG course, a night vision course, and there was two SWAT officers that they all have PVS-14s, and their qualification for night vision was they got the nods and they walked around a dark room and they said, you're good to go. These are SWAT sheriffs. And now they're paying money to go to a course I was at because they believe in themselves. They know that, fuck, if I don't invest in myself, I'm not going to come home. If I don't invest in myself, I could potentially fuck up. And they don't have time to fuck up. No one's got time to fuck up. And the Marine Corps is really good at, hey, do the best with what you got, that mentality. And, you know, making it into special operations, there's a lot more leniency we have when it comes to training, and we can set up everything almost self-sustainment, self-sufficient. And some of the best training we ever did was all in-house. The only money it cost us was to buy like the simmunition, the UTM rounds. That was it. That's the only cost to us. And then it just took the leadership myself to sit down for about an hour and a half, come up with actual training scenarios, submit for a range request to go to a mount town facility. And then I just ran all my special operations teams through these various scenarios, utilizing all the assets that I have at my disposal, simulating literally everything, allowing force on force to happen because everyone's a tough guy till they get punched in the nose, right? Every medical situation is easy until you have to put on an actual tourniquet. And we're doing this all in house. We're doing rep after rep after rep after rep. Because one thing that I've noticed is like there's a lot of young guys and gals in all any walks of life where you have to, yeah, your life is on the line. there's a lot of people that have questions, but they don't ask questions because they're fucking scared. They're scared to be judged. And so what do? Because the whole time, how I hear the stories of law enforcement officers when they're doing training, it's like, hey, shut the fuck up. You suck. Go shoot your 20 rounds. Like, there's no teaching. There's no imperative instruction. It's very fucking crossed arms. I'm this. You're just a recruit. You're a candidate. Whatever. Shoot your shit and get out of here. It's like, bro, are you serious? Are you serious? Like, we can take those same 20 rounds and just fucking 10X this person. Just through communication, just basic communication, we could 10X those 20 rounds and make them way more valuable than just telling them to fucking shoot and how they suck and not correcting anything. And that's the problem that I saw in the military. And that's the problem now as a civilian, especially interacting with a lot of law enforcement officers that I hear continuously. And it's just like, it makes you feel so fucking shitty. Why aren't your bosses trying to help you? Why don't they have your best interests? What happened to this camaraderie? We all, and it's so funny too, because then you, what's really fucked up is when there's a casualty and everyone's all dressed up and everyone's all there showing their, paying their respect. It's a fucking lip service. There's no respect. If there was respect, if there was any form of respect, there would have been cohesion in the unit. There'd have been like, hey, you're the rookie. Instead of me treating you like a fucking apprentice, tattoo artists, I did a small tattoo apprenticeship. Tattoo artists are so trauma filled, and a lot of apprenticeships are so fucking like just garbage, right? They don't even teach you, they just haze you. If officers, if military people didn't treat these new people as like fucking apprentices and actually brought them into the fold, right? Could you imagine how much would change? Because that dude, that guy that you're talking shit about, that motherfucker is going to have your six one day. When I was a CQB instructor for the schoolhouse for MARSOC, there was a lot of instructors that would like talk shit to these students. Not like, hey, you fucking suck, but they would kind of talk down to them. I'm like, bro, what are you doing? We're here in the schoolhouse for three more fucking years. These dudes graduate in like 4 months. They're going to be back in the teams that we left with our fucking dudes. We need to put everything we have into them. So our fucking guys come home and these motherfuckers know what to do. And if we treat them like a substandard person, if we act like there's multiple more hard gates that you need to go through before I respect you and bring you into the fold, we're never going to get anywhere. And these segregations of like, been there, done that, I'm this, you're that, that's not cohesion. That's a fucking cult. And no wonder there's rifts in cults. Guess what? Cults drink fucking Kool-Aid. You know, cults do dumbass shit. But cohesion teams, they fucking grow. Shit still happens, but they're a fucking unit. And when you're a unit, you're unstoppable. When you're a unit and your community, especially law enforcement, sees you as a fucking unit, it changes everything. The whole dynamics change because now they know what you represent and they know that you're actually there to serve the community, not be this fucking strong arm, right? Because you have poor leadership in your own command. You have people that have their own agendas and narratives. And that is obviously extremely visible to people that aren't in your profession. And so how do you bridge that gap? How do you fucking change that? You got to change the mindset in these units. You got to change the mindset, how we interact with people, because your literal life is on the line. It's fucking mind blowing. Your literal life is on the line. Do you want your community to tell you all the bad guys, or do you want them to fucking keep their mouth shut and you get fucking shot? You know, it's like when we're overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan and Africa, all these other places. I had guys that would like talk shit to locals and like, hey, motherfucker, these people kicked out the fucking Russians. They will fucking kick you out too. They'll kill you. Show them a little fucking respect. We're strangers here. We're neighbors here, right? We're guests here. If we want anything from them, we need to fucking show them a little fucking courtesy. We need to be kind and not treat everyone the fucking same. When you do that, hey, Americans, did you know that there's a bomb over there? You're like, well, fuck, thanks, bro. I appreciate you. Let's go see if we can deal with it. You want to come with me to show me exactly where it's at? We create these relationships, not divide. It's divide, divide, divide. Literally, in the most abundant place in the fucking world, we just create divide all the time because fucking so many minds in this country are so linear. it boggles me because so many people rely on the morals. Red, white, and blue. I'm an American. Back-to-back world champs. I'm a fucking this. I'm a fucking that. All these titles. These titles mean shit. If the people in your circle aren't fucking prepared, your title means absolutely zilch. Oh, you're the captain and your guys and gals suck? You suck, motherfucker. That's your responsibility. What's that? The complaints in your department saying you're only getting 20 rounds a year and you can't get a new training. And if you do, you got to pay for it and fucking park it. You fucking suck because you're the fucking boss. You should reach out. You should make things happen. Just like you said, you could do pursuit chases, in-house training. We do it all the time in the military. I don't have time to fuck up. I don't have time to do my best when I'm on the X, when I'm on the objective, when I'm called to perform. I must perform. There is no in between. But that's the thing that takes responsibility and ownership. And most people rather just say, "Are you fucking kidding? How do you not know that?" They rather just give you that empty lip service. And if they're telling you that, these 96,000 officers are telling you this message as a leader in this community, and you're like, "Hey, I approve this message. This is a good fucking question." And there's all these comments of like, "How the fuck do you not know that?" What do you think that motherfucker's partner is saying? What do you think the junior fucking officers in that dude or chick's department, how do you think they're being treated? It's this perpetual self-looking ice cream cone of fucking trauma. It's this perpetual self-looking ice cream cone of fucking do as I say, not as I do. I will never, ever share you my trade secrets because fuck you, I earned it and you'll earn yours the hard way just like I did. How does that solve anything? We're not in the same battle space anymore. Being a cop nowadays is not being a cop 20, 40 years ago. It's different. Absolutely different. And when training's thin, money's thin, and people are trying to downsize your ass, you have to rely on the knowledge and experience that's in your departments. And that only comes through mentorship, leadership. You know, these things that cost $0? It's crazy. Blows my mind.
I have this dream of taking every bad leader in this profession and putting them in like a rotundo with me. And like, now it's you. I'm going to bring you along. Right? Fucking Cody's coming. Right? One of our leadership instructors, Tom Rizzo, and Zach Miller, who's another one of our legal instructors for that purpose as well. And just literally going against the 19,000 complete failures of leaders in this profession and saying, "So we know you guys talk shit about us behind our backs. Let's start addressing these things. Let's address why you behave that way. Why did you tell that female officer, sergeant, that she needed to come back to work the next day when you knew the day before she had a miscarriage? So she's being forced back to work day two because you need personnel. You didn't give one bit of compassion. You were so fucking rigid. We're the assholes, but you're the rigid piece of shit that had no compassion at all to say, 'Oh my God, you lost a child.' Right? You fucking scumbag." And I just like to sit in the room. And the problem is, we just did a TikTok video on this. You follow our TikTok account, you're going to see it. Everybody's a tough guy behind closed doors, their own little fucking camp. And then as soon as they're somewhere in public and I'm around and I know they talk shit about me, it's, "Hey man, good to see you. Heard a lot of good things. A lot of good things about the stuff you're doing. It's great. It's great." Motherfucker, I know exactly what you say about me. Now, I have no interest in calling you out because I'm not trying to win you on my fucking team, right? But don't think I don't know. Now, before we go on to our next thoughts here, you know, when you said earlier about attending police funerals, I'll give you a little insight into law enforcement world. And this is how fucked up it is. And I'll tell you a quick story. There are two types of crowds. I'll even say three types of crowds you will get at a police funeral. And as sad as it is, here's what they are. When you have somebody who is romantically, quote unquote, in the eyes of Hollywood, shot in the line of duty, you can anticipate the crowd going to their funeral service will be ginormous. It'll be a huge turnout, big thing, right? As sad as that is, because that person doesn't want to be in that fucking casket, depending on how you get killed as a police officer will depend on who shows up to your funeral. I know this. I've been around this profession over 21 years now. If you die in a car crash, you can anticipate that you're going to be about half the crowd. Half the crowd are not coming because they don't think it was as violent or as heroic in some sense in their minds. And it's true. Like, cops listen to this, they're probably like, "Yo, that's fucking right. No shit." And then the third way, if you actually die of like terminal disease or natural causes, you'll get a little bit of turnout, right? And your coworkers will show up. And I remember we had a police officer who was killed in line of duty in our town from a neighboring agency. And I was so embarrassed to go to the wake. We had 200-man agency, I counted 37 people, and there was only one person there with a gold badge, and that was a detective. That's not a promotion. That's a transfer of assignment. We didn't have one sergeant, lieutenant, captain, chief, deputy chief. Not one person showed up to this gentleman's wake. Not one. Could you imagine how embarrassing, bro? You got people come flying in from fucking other states showing up with their command staff, paying respects. And we're literally, I'm like, now I started to recognize, I'm like, man, this is a fucked up place. It was even more fucked up the next day when there was a funeral and no command staff showed up. None. Zero. And I went back in to bring keys inside and I saw a sergeant in the hallway. We were in our class A's and he was drinking. I'll never forget this. I came up the second floor. I had to do something on the second floor and he was drinking a cup of coffee. And I go, and like three of us came out of the elevator and he goes, what are you guys up to? I go, we come back from the funeral. He goes, which one? I said, you know, the cop who was killed in our fucking, at our place a week ago, right? Remember that guy who was killed in our town on duty? Yeah, that's where we were. This motherfucker like was floating around like it didn't even fucking, like you could have, the place is fucking 10 minutes down the street. How the fuck are you not there? How is not everybody there? That's, I'll never forget that moment in my career. I went, this place is fucked up. That's how I know this is a bad place to be, because you couldn't even have the decency to go down the road to a neighboring agency. You couldn't have the fucking decency to get your goddamn class A on and show the fuck up, floating around business as usual, sipping a cup of Dunkin' coffee. And that made me insane, dude. I literally, I think my whole fucking world changed that moment and my perspective of like, really, really, that was it. That was that fucking moment in my life. Like, fuck these people, dude. Like, fuck, like that was my fucking brother down the road, right? Like, fuck these people. They don't give a fuck about anybody but themselves. And that's when I started like filtering through some folks. And I'm like, it's a good thing you're getting promoted because we need a guy like you. We need a girl like you. I'm not saying they were horrible people. It's just, where were their morals at? Well, when they needed to show up and show some morals, they would pretend. But when it came down to, where are your morals at? How did you not show up? How the fuck were you not? How were you not there in your day off, even if you're getting compensated, to support a police officer who was killed in the line of duty? I just don't understand it. And that's when I knew that shit was fucked up. And people who listen to this are like, yo, it's fucked up where I'm at too. And I say this all the time. Look, there's a lot of things to unpack here, but the bottom line is, I'm not here trying to convince the old guard or the existing guard of how things should be. What I'm here saying is, you're the next generation. We're the previous generation. We're trying to hand you what was right, what was wrong, and tell you if you would like success, do it this way. Don't do it that way. Right? It's very easy to sip that fucking Kool-Aid. You got chevrons now. Being a boss kid is not easy, right? You're going to have to be a dick at times. And no, you don't. You fucking don't. You don't got to be a dick at times. Never. Like, leaders don't need to be dicks. Ever. They need to be good communicators. Like, when I tell people, like, you don't have to hit your kids to listen. And I just said this in a class in Tennessee, and the guy goes, well, what are you supposed to do? I go, have some patience, learn how to be a fucking adult, learn how to control your emotions, learn how to communicate with children, be present, be there all the time. Don't show up 14% of the time, suspect that they're going to start obeying you because you're swinging your fucking hands around and you're bigger. Because what you're teaching kids is violence. And if you want your kids to be a fucking psychopath, you're gonna put your kids right into therapy, right? Just like the rest of us are in fucking therapy. You want to know why? Because our parents fucked us up. You know why? Because they hit us. They talked to us like shit. They weren't there. They weren't present. They drank. They were numbing their pain, right? When you decide to have a child, you must say, you know what? The way my parents did it was no fucking good. I'm going to be completely different. You know, for me and the woman I had kids with, you know, we had fucking horrible fucking childhoods, right? So blessing or curse, you know, think about which one it is, because you experience such complete disengagement from the people who were supposed to raise you that you would never do that to another human being. So you got to break this cycle of like, this is okay. We can do it. It works just fine. It fucking doesn't, motherfucker. It just does not. It doesn't work fine. And you have to acknowledge that. And then we can start to move forward with progress. Acknowledge that this shit's not working and let's fucking move forward. And you know what, dude, it's crazy. This company stands for a few things. Here's the two most important things. We want cops to go home safely to their families and not die. And we want criminals to go to jail. And that's the macro. But anyway, so yeah, we got to break these processes. We got to break these systems and say, it's not working. We must fix this. Let's take a look at what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, it's that generational trauma. It's that this is how it's been done and this is how it will be done. Well, you know, back to your parents. what your parents treated you is how their parents treated them and how their parents treated them. And then it just fucking trickles on. Same thing when I talk about the tattoo apprenticeship, how they were treated was how, you know, that person was treated that trained them, you know, in the military, the craziness you hear, the activities that you're bearing witness to were the same things that these motherfuckers were exposed to when they were going up through the ranks, coming up in the community, when it was just a different era where people did not communicate. People, you know, leadership, mentorship was never a thing. You know, it was never really it was never a fucking thing. It was never harped on. You had it or you didn't. There wasn't really much teaching, and any teaching of it was very cookie cutter and very check in the box, right? It was their due diligence, but it wasn't really encouraged to break out, to change the mold, to change the cycle, because this is just simply the way it's done. This is it. This is doctrine. This is the way it was back in 1970. Well, bro, this is 2022, homie. Shit's changed, bro. You know, like, we're thinking for ourselves now. We're fucking freeing ourselves. We're telling you to shut the fuck up. We're treating people with respect. We're standing up for ourselves. We're telling the fucking idiots in the back, yo, bro, you're not in control of me, dude. I don't bow to you. And they're like, what? I'm the boss. Like, no, dude, this is just a job, bro. And I'll walk just as easy as I did as coming in here. So, you know, you need me more than I need you. And the only way we're going to progress forward, and the only thing we're only way we're going to make a difference is by being the difference. I don't know, man. It is so wild to hear and hearing your insight of the law enforcement, because my dad was an officer for 41 years, and my dad was not a complainer. He had his shit talk moments here and there, but he was that old breed. Didn't complain, but that fucking dude was miserable. I could see it in his appearance. I could see it how he fucking looked, all these things, how he acted, all these things. He was fucking miserable. And to give 41 years of your life, 41 fucking years that you never get back, because we're all dying. Every one of us, your shitty cops, your good cops, your shitty people, your good people, everyone in this world dies. And to give 41 years to a system that does not care about you, it's crazy. In the grand scheme of things, you know, I got guys that hit me up like, hey, I got like 3 years left in the Marine Corps. You know, they're like, they're Raiders also. They're like, hey, I got 3 years left. You know, how's getting out? I'm like, bro, it's fucking sucks. Because newsflash, you're fucking institutionalized. You think the way you're treated right now is norm. You think your limitations you have on yourself is fucking acceptable. This is simply not true. I'm like, bro, get out right now. Did you know that you can go on a medical board? Did you know you can do this? Like, get out now, bro. Is your life really worth $300 more fucking dollars a month for your, you know, 20-year pension? I'm like, is your life really worth $300 more fucking dollars, bro? With all that stress, I have a gold tooth from all the stress in my life. I was just constantly grinding my teeth, not even knowing it, wondering why my ass was clenched 24/7, thinking that was norm until I started to be conscious of all this type of stuff. Because my environment. Because when you care, when you're passionate about the things that you do, if you risk your fucking life for anything, if you risk your money to start your business, if you risk your fucking life to put on a badge, if you risk your fucking life to put on a uniform to serve, that's a lot of fucking pressure. That's a lot of stress. And when you have an environment that just says, you're not important, bro, this is it. And you're just a cog. When you're like, when you have that epiphany, you're like, what the fuck did I just get into? Now you have a decision. Do you continue on as a peasant robot, compliant as fuck? Or do you look at yourself differently now? You're like, you know, wait a second, bro. I'm not a fucking cop if I'm not here. You know, this job doesn't exist without me. I'm not even part of this shit if I'm not here. And that's when you have to make a decision, like, what's more important to you? Being part of the number or being yourself? And that being yourself causes you your fucking job, costs you your job, then guess what? You got to live with yourself at the end of the day, because you're going to be dead as fuck. You're going to die. Unless you want to look back at your life with all this regret, all this like resentment of like, oh, how you got fucked. Well, you better start fucking shifting paradigm shifts now. You better start changing norms now. You better start speaking up, training those young bucks. You better start being there, being firm, fair, and compassionate. You better start doing something different, because what you've been doing isn't working. And if you know you're all ending up at the same space at the end of the day, the only thing, only one that can change that is you. It's me, right? How do we want to show up? How do we want to do these things? Do we want to still be part of the same fucking problem? Or do we want to show people like, hey, there's another way to do this job. there's another way to live this life. And it doesn't have to be a fucking slave to the mind.
I try to give people some words of hope and wisdom. Typically, when we talk about you're frustrated, the position you're at. I've said this countless times. And I always tell people, like, we have retention issues. I'm like, yeah, I'm the guy causing that, just so you know. And like, what do you mean? I'm like, well, if you treat your people like assholes, I'm telling them to go elsewhere. If you plan on staying in this profession and career, which is a noble one, it's a noble calling. People really, really find their heart and souls in it. You can find an agency that will actually appreciate you. They're out there. They're not all the agencies, not a majority of the agencies, but they're out there. And guess what? You're going to have to trade in a little bit to get there. You're going to have to trade in your comfort of where you live, how far you drive, what days off you have, your pay. But I have yet to meet a cop who took a position or took a transfer or took a new job at a better agency with less pay who wasn't happier than a pig and shit. I mean, I get it all the time. Bro, I heard you. I knew this agency was better. It's a 60-mile drive to work. It pays $10,000 less a year, but I've never been happier. What I have heard are people making transfers and taking positions for the wrong reasons. I hear this all the time. Hey, man, the grass isn't always greener. You know, I left this job making 71. I went here because they make 94. I'm fucking miserable. I'm like, well, that was the big mistake. You went there for the wrong reason. You thought it was the right reason. And we're in a day now where as long as you're not a complete lazy fucking piece of shit, you can learn with a little energy and effort how to hustle money. You can learn how to do so many things on the internet that you don't have to, not even the internet. Go get a fucking lawnmower and go cut 12 lawns if you want to make up the lost money. Go drive an Uber, right? Take your fucking shittier car. Go drive an Uber on the weekends. I know a guy who left Philadelphia Police Department to go to an agency part-time with a full-time promise in the next spot in the next 1 to 2 years and literally went, took a part-time job. He's like, yo, I'm driving Ubers and Lyfts at night till I can get on full-time. You know, that guy's on full-time. He's like, bro, this is the best move of my life. Because he was asking me, what should I do? I go, fucking leave, dude. Like, if you wanted to be this cop and you want to go out and catch bad guys and have support and have good equipment and all this other stuff, right? Like, you're not going to find it at Philly. Like, you're just not. They're, by the way, and they're great men and women there. You meet Philly cops, they're the fucking best, dude. Like, they're the fucking best. The agency does not care. They don't give a fuck. There's three or four people out of the fucking thousands that are there that actually give a fuck in the command staff, right? Those that we know who you are, right? It's not hard to come by. You ask, it's so funny, you go into a room, like, who's the best guy here? They all point to the same person. Who's the best girl here? Oh, she's the best, right? Who's the biggest asshole? Every head turns and looks to one person, right? The same six, that guy's a fucking asshole. Why are you an asshole? Why? What does that serve? What purpose does that fucking serve? So if you love this profession, you're going to have to trade some shit off, some of your comforts. Like, oh, bro, I'm at step three. Like, you're 26. Calm the fuck down. Reset. Take two steps back. I got Saturdays off, man. You get more vacation days here at this place. I like our outer vest carriers. The other place that works, they don't have outer vest carriers. Like, you're sticking around for the wrong reasons. And I got to tell you, regret's real. 22, 23, 24, 20, 19 years. And you're like, yo, I got 4 years left. 4 years is precious. If I told you you were going to die in the next 5 years, you would consider those 4 years to be very fucking precious. So why are you treating your life like you're going to be here till you're 98? Because guess what, motherfucker? You might not. You might not. I have people in my life that are in their 30s and 40s who are looking at maybe the last few years of their lives, and you're wasting this time in a place where, if you want to be a cop, great. Go to a place that appreciates you, man. Like, they're out there. I promise you. People are like, yeah, it's easy for you. Yeah, this one. Easy for you to say. Is right. It, motherfucker? I went to three different police academies in 4 fucking years, right? Because every place I went to, I was like, fuck this place, I'm leaving. They're like, you got to go back to an academy. I'm like, I'm willing to do that. Not a problem. 20 months later, I'm like, fuck this place, I'm leaving again, right? Hey, you're going back to an academy. And not only going to an academy, you're going to a shitty academy that sucks. It's hard and it's fucking annoying. And I'm like, yeah, man. Like, really? Like, you're a cop already. I'm like, well, I don't care. I'm not sticking around this fucking place. Fuck this, dude. And, you know, I hear from my friends 18, 19 years later. This place is terrible. The cars don't work. I go, yeah, it's that. That's what they were talking about fucking 18 years ago. I wasn't willing. I remember going to my last agency. I'm like, yo, the cars turn on here? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, we have computers? They're like, yeah. And we fix them if they break. I'm like, wait, can I go back? The cars turn on here? Like, you actually have cars that work? Yeah, we get them fixed. If they don't work, we can fix them in like a day. Bro, we crash cars on a Monday. They'd be back in the fleet on a Thursday. Why? The last place I came from, you crash a car, it was over. It was gone forever. The only time you see three new cars in a district, bro, I remember going into work and they're like, there's no cars. I'm like, what do you mean? They're like, yeah, no, we don't even have cars. Like, there's a bicycle outside if you want to. I'm not even kidding you. Like, I had a golf cart, like a police golf cart that I used because I didn't want to, like, you couldn't take your own car here, like, to go out and patrol. I used to patrol around in a golf cart with, like, plastics. That's no sirens, just a little light on top. It was donated by, like, the Honda company as a test pilot for that agency. And to this day, I hear the same things. We're broke. We have no money. There's no cars. They don't know what they're doing. No shit, dude. I wasn't sticking around for that fucking shit. So I went to my third agency. You know, anyway.
It's weird the relationships of, like, how, like, law enforcement and military, like, how they're really the same. Anytime there's an institution, I think you're going to find comparisons, especially any, like, line of service institution. And it is so crazy. That's why I left the infantry, you know, even being a sniper, being the top people, you know, top group in an infantry unit. I had to leave, man. Like, the demographics of my command, the command climate, it was not what I wanted to be associated with. I felt called for more. I wanted more out of my life. I wanted more out of my career. And I wasn't going to wait around and hope that someone here that doesn't even like themselves, right? That person that's drinking a fucking case of Coors Light at night that goes home and hates his fucking wife. I'm not going to wait around for that motherfucker to change policy and give me the freedom that I need to do more with my job. I want to go seek it out. Fucking constantly seek it out. People get so stagnant. They're like, well, I wanted to do this and here I am. No, bitch, you wanted to do that. That brought you to this and you're fucking numbing your consciousness. You're numbing everything that's around you and playing so small because you're limiting yourself based off your initial inertia to get to where you're at today. You had to get to where you're at today to realize this isn't where I want to fucking be at. And the only one that can change that is you. People talk shit all the time, how they hate their fucking job, how so-and-so sucks. I'm like, bitch, get promoted. Go to that fucking course you're not going to because you don't want to lose team time. Go get fucking promoted and come back and make a fucking difference. If not, shut the fuck up. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. People want to just complain. They don't want to do anything about their lives. And look, I mean, jobs are one thing, right? Job's a job. If it's not your job, guess what? You're working for someone else. You're working for someone else. You're fucking putting yourself into the fire of, like, you're not in control. But when you look at your own life and look at all the, if people bitched about their job, guess how much they're bitching about their life? You know, guess what, how much life they're missing out on when they're fucking just bitching about how shitty their job is. Dude, I don't drink like I did before. I would go to the bars every weekend and chase chicks, get fucking drunk. And I hang out with, like, the guys that I worked with in my unit. All we did was talk shit about the fucking job. That's it. I was constantly around that state of fucking low vibration where I'm like, man, but even these motherfuckers aren't dudes that are going to enact change. They don't even speak up. A motherfucker that bitches in private but won't speak up in the spotlight, that person's a bitch. Mm-hmm. That person is a fucking bitch. And I've found that out so much. I remember when we had this one general for MARSOC, I was not a fan of him. I thought he was a typical, hey, I made it here. I'm a fake leader. Do as I say. He comes down to talk to us at the schoolhouse. And he's like, hey, I was an instructor at the time. And I brought up some questions because I was a younger guy. And it was a room full of more senior dudes. Even though I have the same level of experience, if not more combat real world experience than this class, I'm a younger guy. I was a youngest dude, younger than them, whatever the fuck. And I'm like, hey, I'm going to bring up this question. They're like, oh, yeah, that's a good question. I'm like, sick. I'm going to fucking send it. General comes and he's like asking us dumbass shit. And he's like, hey, what questions do you guys have? And I simply asked him, like, hey, sir, you know, our students are leaving the schoolhouse better trained than us as the instructors. You know, as an instructor, we're staying in our sections for like 3 years, only sniping, only teaching CQB, only teaching patrolling, whatever the case is. You know, and then we're going back, you know, talking to the guys, you're going back to the unit. They're behind the power curve. Because times change, right? 3 years, a lot of shit can happen operationally in 3 years. And the general was like, I'm like, I think there should be a way that we could have training, right? Like a training pipeline for instructors, maybe like the last 2 months, 3 months, even 30 days to get guys kind of spun up through all the other sections that they've been missing. So they go back to the units as a leader, well-equipped so they can be their best selves and do the best for their teams. And the general was like, does anyone else feel this way? Fucking crickets. Fucking crickets. These are the same bitches that talk the same shit that I'm talking, but they don't say anything. And so then I, looking how I look, right? I'm obviously just a fucking dude. I raise my fucking hand. I share my piece, super professional, super fucking tactful. And I get threatened with getting sent to another unit because I'm not getting enough training. I'm like, are you fucking dumb? Like, I'm thinking to myself, are you fucking dumb? And this is my general. This dude is in charge of countless lives, right? And that's his thought process because he's high and mighty. And then I look at my peers and I'm just like, bro, you guys are fucking bitches. I hear you talk shit about how we don't get training, how we don't get the funding, how all this other shit. And now this dude, right, daddy shows up and you guys are fucking crickets. You guys are fucking weak. And yet somehow in the concept of the institution, there's still so many people that look at these people, my peers, my leaders, right? And they're like, oh man, that person's awesome. That person's badass. I'm like, really? Because I've been in rooms with them and they don't fucking speak up. You know, you don't have to speak up, be aggressive and violent. And I wasn't these things. I learned a long time ago. I was given briefs to fucking full-bird colonels and generals as an 18-year-old fucking kid. 18 fucking years old, I'm briefing combat missions for my 4-man sniper team by my fucking self. I had to learn how to interact with these people that are fucking completely disconnected from reality. And so I have, you know, perfected that almost, right? I've just kept on learning and growing, falling on my dick, learning some more, getting mentored, getting led some more, and I'm evolving. But I look at these people that want so much change in institution, but when they're actually put to the fucking test, when they actually have an opportunity to say something, to do something, to be something, they falter. How many people are in, you know, the listeners' community right now that are the same motherfucker? Now, here's the flip side, right? The subordinates, right? The people that are observing this lack of involvement, what do? They talk shit. Oh, fuck. That guy had a chance to say something. He didn't say anything. This is when you have an opportunity to become a leader yourself. Are you saying something? Are you doing something? Oh, well, I'm not the boss. Fuck you. It doesn't matter. Do you have a voice? Do you have a pulse? Bitch, if you're in the room, that means you have an invite. But so many people want to put the onus on so many other people to save them, to fucking free them, to lead them. Like, bitch, sometimes you got to lead yourself. If not, how are you learning? How are you growing? How are you evolving? Because one day, especially in the military, I don't know if it is for law enforcement, you stick around long enough, you're going to get promoted. Unless you fuck up, you're going to get promoted. And sometimes in the military, the more you fuck up, you promote up. It's just how it is. I don't understand it. I was not one of those guys, but I saw plenty of my peers. I'm like, this guy fucking sucks. How the fuck is he my boss now? Well, because he's been in like 26 fucking years. He's been in 20 plus years. I'm like, but I'm the same rank as him and I've been in like fucking 9. Like, I don't understand. Like, that guy sucks. But people don't want to change because for them to raise their hand, to be humble, to be modest, to be curious, that's intimidating. Well, if you're afraid to raise your fucking hand and ask a question, oh yeah, you're definitely going to be afraid to tell your boss, your superior, like, hey, dude, I need more training. I don't feel confident on the radio yet. Could you help me? Hey, I don't feel confident in driving in the car by myself. Could you go over some scenarios with me just so I can like run the mental process? People won't do that because people are fucking, by design, passive as fuck. Because society tells you to shut up in color. Institutions tell you to shut up in color. Your peers tell you shut up in color. You don't know what you're talking about. Like, bitch, I know more than you not saying anything. And that blows my absolute mind that these things happen. And some of these guys are heroes to some, you know, but I've learned, and maybe this has happened in your line of work. Hero is a perverted term. Some guys and gals' perception of a hero is what they do on the objective, but not what they do 24/7 back at home. Mm-hmm. Oh, fucking that guy was great. He's fucking stopped the perp. He's awesome. But the guy sucks ass back at his unit. He's not leading anybody. He's not mentoring. He's not spreading the knowledge. He's not treating people firmly and fairly, but he's good out there being Rambo. I worked with a fuck ton of Rambos that were fucking peasant leaders back at home. And the thing is, when you're so traumatized inside of what you think right looks like, people cannot shift that perspective of like, wait a second, this guy might be really good for like a combat use, but like, I just saw him like walk over his dudes and not stand up for them when he had a chance. When they brought up these concerns, right? He just told him, shut the fuck up. or when asked if he had a question, he didn't say anything. How's that a good leader? Bitch, you're getting paid. I tell motherfuckers, like, dude, that rank, the pay is for you. But that rank is for your fucking men and women. The pay is for you. The rank is for your men and women. If you're not fucking using that, you're an absolute bitch. Because you're in a profession where motherfuckers' lives are on the line. And if you don't respect that, how would you ever expect to be respected in return? If you don't respect that responsibility of a selfless service environment, if you don't take ownership of that, if you rely on just how things have been, you're an absolute bitch. And you're not influencing any battle space. You're not changing any fucking lives. No wonder your community fucking hates you. No wonder fucking that dude down the street's not giving you information because you fucking suck. And if your people know you suck, guess what? Everyone knows you suck. They can sense it. People aren't stupid as they play to be. People are just quiet. And that's perceived as stupid, but they're not. People are absolutely smart and they're intelligent. They just haven't found that permission at times to fucking step up and get involved into their life to actually make a difference in their units and their families and their all around surroundings. It literally blows my mind. It blows my mind. You don't have to be badass. You just have to have a pulse and realize, dude, what's happening is unacceptable. And if no one's willing to do it, I must. And if that's not accepted, guess what? Then you know your worth. You know your worth there. And now you have actual tangible evidence and facts so you can base your next play off of. Because most people live in la land. Oh, my command loves me. Cody, they love me. No, they don't, bitch. You're just a slave. And they know whatever they tell you, you're going to fucking jump and do. Meanwhile, their fucking wives are miserable. I don't know why my husband wants to stay in longer. I'm like, I don't fucking know. He used to be my best friend. Now he's a fucking zombie. I don't get it. For $300 more a month, this motherfucker is going to do 6 more years, 5 more years. And he's miserable. He talks shit about it. But for $300, he's going to go sell his fucking soul out because he's comfortable. Because people respect me. No, bitch. They accept you because you're part of the institution. And there's a real big reality check for people out there. No matter what your job is, military, law enforcement, civilian, fucking cook, it doesn't matter. There's a big reality out there. It's called opportunity. And you have an opportunity to change your life at any time. You have an opportunity to fucking rise up and be different today if you want to. You don't have to be the feeble recruit, the candidate, that motherfucker that's got questions that won't ask. I remember being in this like multi-million dollar course. It was like this Jason Bourne super ninja course. And I was there with all these like senior fucking dudes. I was a senior guy also, but I was just the youngest guy. And we're doing some really nerd shit. And they're like, who's got questions? And I'm like, fuck, dude. They just talked about a bunch of like nerd science shit. And I got a test tomorrow. I got all sorts of questions. I raised my hand. And people were like looking at me like, this motherfucker? The instructors come. They give me the information that I need to know. And they leave. Guess what happens? 7 motherfuckers come up to be like, hey, Cody, what do they say? Oh, aren't you that badass that everyone just fucking like gawks over? But you're coming up to me now because you didn't have the balls to raise your hand to ask a question because you didn't want to look fucking embarrassed. Like, and that's the problem with these people, dude. That's the problem with institutions. We don't welcome actual growth. We just tell you to fucking grow. We don't welcome actual leadership. We just put you through a fucking check in the box, you know, general approved, command approved leadership course. And we say it's good to go. Just so when you do fuck up, we can say we trained you, right? Everything is to cover your ass, right? When are we going to do it differently? Well, we're not just trying to cover our ass. We're here to make a fucking impact because we respect the profession. And most importantly, we respect our lives. How can you serve your community best if you don't respect yourself? You're not. You're going to go fuck up. Then you're going to fucking smear the name of all the good cops that are out there. How are you going to go fucking lead the way as a leader in the special operations community or the military if you're fucking too scared to work on your deficiencies? You're not. You're just going to be another fucking tarnished name out there that's giving people false hope, poor direction, zero guidance, and you're just taking up fucking space. And that's the difference. And this is where the divide has to happen. If you don't respect your life, you don't respect your profession. If you don't respect your profession, what do you respect? And that's what we're lacking absolute respect for the things we call important to us. That's the ultimate crime, dude. That's sad. It's absolutely sad.
Can we do this again? Do you have a really, really busy schedule?
It's getting busy. I'm actually heading to North Carolina this week. I'm starting my speaking tour, and I actually am getting the honor to speak at a Marine Corps ball. One of the old officers I worked with, he's now in charge of a unit, and he invited me out to go be the guest speaker at his ball. And I'm super excited, dude, to go share myself with the Marines and give them some perspective that hopefully they need to become their best selves. And I'm just super honored. And then I'm going on my very first bow hunt in 2 weeks on the East Coast. I'm really excited about that. I just got into archery not too long ago, and I'm really excited to get out there and just get out of my comfort zone.
Where are you shooting?
In Virginia.
Fuck, dude. It's too far.
Yeah, it's too far.
Just come in here and fucking shoot the shit. We'll fucking have a good time. Bro, I got to get you back on because I just wrote a word down as you were talking greatness. I think you're destined for some fucking amazing shit. I really, really believe that. I'm somebody who's in this space and you have the gift, and it's, and I'm sure you've worked on that gift as well. I'm sure you've done a lot of work in the behind the scenes, but it's very impressive. And I think you're going to change the world. I just think that. And I know you believe that as well. So don't ever lose fucking sight of what that means. And I just want to fucking call you a friend, bro, if that's cool.
Absolutely, bro. I'm super stoked to meet you and your honesty. And, you know, I don't know what I got goosebumps just feeling this interaction with you right now, man, because it's not easy to come from your line of work that you've jeopardized so much. You risk so much. You sacrifice so much. Just same way with your peers, right? The men and women in your force. But for you to get out, to clearly do work, right? Because you can just talk shit, but you're not talking shit. You're stirring the pot to trigger, to open, to get eyes locked on you, and then you're providing value and suggestions on how to rectify them and change that. That's not normal, bro. So to hear your experience and to like a little bit of experience that I hear from you, but to hear what you're doing now and to bear witness to it personally, bro, that's fucking epic. Mother, and when you can say shit and you get messages, they're like, bro, that's exactly how I feel. That's when you know you're making a fucking difference. As long as you keep on doing it because you feel called upon to do it, bro, you're always going to shine. And that's what I feel called upon to do myself, man. I didn't go through all the bullshit. I didn't peek behind the veil all these years just to be some feeble fucking minded person that's be like, you know what? I it was just a job. I'm just going to like not use any of it to fucking better myself. Fuck you, dude. That's how selfish is that? Out of all the pain and trauma you experienced in your line of work, dude, now you're able to impact lives. You're getting motherfuckers to look at themselves and be like, God damn, that dude's talking to me. I got to change my shit because this job's going to end. How the fuck do I want to show up as a citizen? How the fuck do I want to show up as a husband, as a wife, as a father, as a mother? You're doing that by just triggering them to be like, bro, he's so right. I'm going to go work on myself. And when guys and gals find that power to do that shit, that's how we change stuff. I have a shaman of mine, and he told me, well, he didn't tell me. I saw him. He shared it, and I'm like, fuck, he's speaking to me. And he said, I'm not here to change the world. I'm here to change myself. You could have got out victim as fuck. Same with me. I was a victim for a few years trying to find myself. But when we work on ourselves, man, we can change everything. And it's clearly shown you're doing all these speaking engagements and you're impacting lives and you're moving the needle forward. And that's very commendable. And thank you for that. And I appreciate this opportunity to even come on here and do this.
It's awesome, dude. I think the more you find out about us, the more you're going to like, we're not just talking the talk, brother. We walk the walk. We show the fuck up. I mean, I don't know. And everybody who knows who we are knows exactly. Ask your law enforcement friends if they know who we are and see what they say about us. They're not going to say to you like, those guys are dicks. They're gonna be like, yo, those motherfuckers are the fucking future. And they do this shit with their heart and their soul, and they could have just not said anything. They decided not to say anything. They showed the fuck up and told us what we need to know. And guess what? 10% of police administrations think we're the devil because it's accountability. You're the problem. Bro, I hope we can do this again, man. I really do. And just please plug all your information, all your shit, your Instagram, where can they find you, TikTok, everything.
So my website for my apparel line, which basically encourages people to become their best self, is called We Defy the Norm. My Instagram is the Cody Alford. It's pretty straightforward, the Cody Alford. And my coaching group that I run to help people level up their mindsets to shift that perspective they need to become their best self is called Defy Tribe. And you can find that at defytribe.com. And yeah, man, I'm super grateful for this opportunity. And I'll send you those links also so you can add it for the podcast. But yeah, man, you guys keep on doing what you're doing. And I am definitely down for part two.
Yeah, dude, part two is going to be fucking legit, bro. And, oh man, if you were here, I'd be like, yo, we're going to get some fucking sandwiches or what, you know, we would be bad for each other because it'd be up to like 4 o'clock in the morning and people just come down from the house. I'm like, you guys ever going to fucking shut the fuck up? Because ever going to stop that? I could just hear it in my head. You're going to stop now? You think you had enough? No, never. Enough.
You got to ride that wave of energy, man. And you can't be afraid of that, dude. That synergy is real, dude. Like I'm so amped right now because you're it. You are it. Dude, when you surround yourself with people who are it, you become it. When you become it, you change, you create change. And that's all starts within. It all starts with ourselves. And thank you for doing your work to fucking show up how you are today.
Here's a little selfish question for me. I appreciate you saying that. Believe me, brother, you know how I feel about you. Have you gotten to that point now that you're, cause you're speaking so it's so powerful that you have like important friends and shit. Has that happened for you yet? Like you have like kind of famous friends and shit like that.
Yeah. And I don't fanboy, but those kind of famous people, funny you mentioned this. I looking at it the other day, I was going through some of my stuff. I'm like, fuck man, the reach that I'm getting is insane now. It's crazy, right? Like I just did this massive Sean Ryan show podcast and I fucking just blew up, right? Same message, just more people. And it's crazy. And a lot of these men that I follow that I'm inspired by because they're doing the work and they're bringing others with them. Those are the motherfuckers that inspire me. I'm like, damn, they like my fucking post out of their busy ass day, transforming lives themselves. These motherfuckers read my shit and liked my shit. And then sent me a message. I'm like, whew, I have a network now that have eyes on me, dude. I'm not going to let them down by letting that fucking get to me. But I'm also not going to let them down because now they see. Bro, I'm coming for all of them. Not to take them out, but I'm coming for them to be in, to create the next fucking circle, to create that next network because they're a generation ahead of me. And I value that and I respect that. Who says I can't create my own?
And do they respect you? And they're gonna open the circle with open arms. And they're always looking for people just like them. And dude, everybody's got the same fucking story. Everybody's got the same thing. Nobody was shit, and we all just some of us were fortunate enough to be chosen by the Lord, I assume, in some sense. And this was what you were meant to do, and you didn't ignore that fucking noise in your head, and you showed up. And boy, it's not easy, and you know that. And oh, it's tough. Oh, it's. Boys and girls, you have no fucking idea how tough it is. It's hard, but you'll be thankful that you listened to it and you followed your heart. It's worth it. It's tough, but it's fucking worth it. So I know the work that you're doing, dude. I know what it takes. I know you have kids. I know the fucking hardships. I fucking understand you. And that's those people understand it too. They know exactly what it is. And it takes a fucking big set of fucking balls to show the fuck up when people need to be led. And dude, you're doing it. We're going to be friends forever. I'm fucking pumped. Like, I'm hoping we find ourselves at a fucking event together, dude. And you're like, oh, fuck, no way, dude. Like, what are you teaching? Like, I'm doing that. Like, I'm doing that shit, too. Let's fucking kill it. Some shit like dude. That, dude. You know what I mean? Like, our paths will cross. You'll learn more about what we're doing. We have a huge conference coming up in Nashville. We have, like, 1,500 cops to come to that. So it's awesome meeting you, brother. And, you know, fucking, I don't have to tell you anything you don't know. You know, you're on the right track, brother. I'll see you, man.
Later, bro.
Guys, if you're in an area where you're trying to get to our classes, but we're not close to you, fret not. We actually have on-demand training at StreetCop.com. You can take that course online right now, and then you could attend that training in the future at no additional cost. You can redeem your voucher, so you get two for the price of one. We don't want to deny you the ability to take this training now, especially knowing that it can keep you safe, at a very minimum, putting bad guys in jail where they belong, and at the maximum, going home to your family. Check out StreetCop.com for that offer.